Hello and welcome to the GSC Grays Property Podcast, a podcast designed to give you property insight from the region. I'm Charlie Roberts, Marketing Manager here at GSC Grays, and today our property experts are discussing property prices, the changes we've seen in the last year, and using their crystal balls to predict what is to come. All this to help you make the right decision when it comes to selling your property. So, without further ado, let's hear from our experts. John Coleman, our Agency Director, Catherine Greaves, Branch Manager at Barnard Castle, Graham Wood, Branch Manager at Stokesley, and of course, Andrea Lewis, Branch Manager at Leyburn.
Wow, there is so much to examine and look at when it comes to prices. So, let's start with Zoopla and their recently released UK house price index. Now, in there, they said that UK house price growth had increased by 4.1%. That seems astronomical, but what are we seeing in our region?
I think we can probably bear out there's certainly been an increase in house prices, certainly in the last quarter and probably, in fact, longer than that. And certainly the evidence that we're seeing in certain sectors of the market is that we've got plenty of people looking for properties to buy, and there simply isn't enough stock to fulfil their needs, which is definitely driving the prices in a northwards direction.
What increase have you seen, though, Andrea, within Leyburn?
I would say it's probably all of 4%, but perhaps a touch more in certain places. Certainly at properties, I'm going to say under 300,000. We do a lot of rural properties, a lot of second homes, holiday homes, that sort of thing. And certainly those properties, it's quite hard to predict what prices they're going to go for. We're certainly looking at good prices for our vendors. And in fact, when the properties are going out live, the reality is often there are more people that would go for the same property, and it's still driving the properties even further, even though we're pitching them at pretty optimistic levels.
I think from my point of view, looking at the market as a whole, we've seen a lot of anecdotal evidence and a lot of speculation over the last 6 months as to where property prices are going. But because of the delay in getting many of these deals over the line, we haven't quite known what the answer is as yet. But the last 3 months have really got a number, you know, the majority of these deals now across the line, deals exchanged and many completed as well. And so we're seeing these proper percentage numbers starting to come through. What you'll find is across the UK as a whole, that the average comes out at a reasonable sum, like 4 or 5%, which does sound a lot of money, and certainly is compared to this time last year, which we might have been talking about something in the region of 1-1.5%. So the increase in that respect is enormous. But there will be evidence in localized areas where those figures don't even get close to the rises that have been achieved, particularly on those properties which have gone to closing dates for best and final offers, where we've seen competitive bidding go well above asking price and showing a reflection on increased values, which will be 10% and above in some cases. So as always, an average figure hides the true story of what's happening in the market, but the range of increases from lowest to highest is really quite large now, and I wouldn't have thought 10% even gets close to some of the deals that have been agreed.
Well, Catherine was quoted in the Times as saying that prices in Barnard Castle were up 13% on this time last year. Catherine, apart from needing an agent to deal with all your media inquiries, why do you think this is happening?
So, well, what we've got at the Barnard Castle office is, like you've said, our average. Now, this is an average house price. It's more of an average sale price. So our average sale price for the first quarter of this year versus the first quarter of last year was up by 13.2%. Now, that may just mean that we've dealt with slightly higher value properties in that period, but there will be some reflection there of an increase on house price. But I think it wouldn't be correct to say that house prices have increased by 13.2%, but it certainly shows that there is an increase somewhere. It's difficult to say exactly how much. But no, it's quite interesting when I've had a look at the statistics specifically for our Barnard Castle office, and our new applicants registered for the first quarter of this year compared to the first quarter of last year is up by 153%, yet viewings are only up by just to say 6%. So it sort of shows that there is a severe shortage of stock on the market at the moment. We're getting loads more people registering, but our viewings aren't up by anything like that. So I think when we do get a property on the market, we're getting an awful lot more people inquiring on one specific property because of the lack of property about. And then therefore the average sale price is pushing up on every single property just because of a lack of supply to the market.
You're talking there about individual properties, and I know we've all done reports every 6 months where we look at individual properties and what we might achieve now versus what we achieved 6 months ago, 12 months ago, 18 months ago and 2 years ago. And when you look back at those prices we're achieving for some properties, you know, a year and 2 years ago, pretty much across the board, each and every one of them, we would now look at our database and think we could certainly achieve a little bit more than that across the board. And I know that's something we all do on a regular basis.
Yeah, I think that's the quarterly residential index you're referring to, because I had a quick look at that ahead of this. And what really struck me was the fact that rural locations, prices are increasing by 10%, modern properties to 5%. So what is stopping sellers putting their house on the market and actually taking advantage of what's going on?
I think that's easy. They can't find a house to move to.
Yeah, I've had that an awful lot.
this comes back to what Catherine was saying. We're looking at the extremes of supply and demand here at the moment. Seldom have I seen a market in 30 odd years of doing this where the supply is quite so low against a demand which is quite so high, driven by the obvious results of the pandemic, lockdown, the search for space. There's articles all over the place about this very topic at the moment. So you are getting, I think I referred to it the other day, at least 2 to 1 serious buyers per properties coming to the market. And I should think that in some cases, that's not even close, that it's 3, 4, 5 to 1 buyers to properties coming on the market. It's a supply and demand situation. And it's the problem with the sellers is finding somewhere to move on to, which is delaying their decision in many cases to come onto the market now.
And do you feel that the easing of restrictions and the vaccination rollout will actually unlock this kind of maybe pent up and those that are unsure of selling and those that have kind of been waiting with bated breath just to see what's happening?
I think it'll make a little bit of difference. I mean, I've noticed out of Barnard Castle that since the children went back to school, I've got a little bit busier, and all of those parents that were sort of holding off because they had children at home, that's all sort of started to happen. And I think as we start to come out of lockdown, it'll just ease people even more. So I can't see us slowing down at all over sort of next few months. And hopefully there'll be plenty more coming onto the market that we can then pass on to these buyers that are waiting.
Yeah, I agree. I think, Charlie, I don't want to use the word normal market conditions in the current circumstances at all, but I'm certainly starting to have more typical conversations with owners about the marketplace and about what their plans are and about a strategy for their move, as opposed to specific reasons, i.e. lockdown and space and all the things that John was talking about. You know, those general reasons for a move that people have been waiting to do for the last 12 months, we're starting to have those conversations again with people. So, yes, I hope, like Catherine, that that's going to have an impact on a few more people coming to market.
I think one of the other things that we should always sort of bear in mind too is there's a lot of concern that as we come out of lockdown, we're also coming out of the furlough support. And I think that there will be pressure on jobs in cases and in places. And I think where in our region, they tend to impact on our market more on the first time buyer end of the market. That sadly, it seems that the younger generation are affected more by this than any other. And that will have a knock on effect. I suspect it will temper the market. But I think the demand over and above that is such that the market will still continue to go forward. And therefore, we remain pretty positive, certainly for the next 6 months. And then we'll see where it goes from there. I think even with my crystal ball, it's harder to look beyond that.
And I was also reading within this Zoopla report that it's taking on nationally, it's taking around 44 days for a listing to sell, which is down on this time last year. What are we seeing? How quickly are properties shifting? Have we got a Usain Bolt of a property that's just moving quicker than 44 days?
I mean, we've had a few over 500,000 that we've listed recently, and they've gone within less than 7 days of marketing. So, I mean, that's not every single one, but I would certainly say there's plenty that are going within a week at the moment. Yeah.
And the same in our area as well. Probably slightly lower priced hours, sort of 300 and under probably. But yeah, certainly property is going within a matter of days to a week in some cases.
I certainly see a number of agents at the moment sort of, you know, being really pleased with selling a house very quickly, which is great in some circumstances where there's a real requirement for that owner to sell quickly to secure something or for a specific reason. But certainly timing has got to be discussed with your owners about actually, you know, marketing properly. You know, yes, we can all, you know, hold our hands up and say we've sold a house within 24 hours and slap ourselves on the back. But wouldn't it be great to market it for a couple of weeks and achieve a really good price for the vendor if that's what's important to them?
Yeah, I think that's, I have a conversation, you know, as you know, I work at the higher end of the market, and we're now having discussions where we're saying that once you launch, you know, we are expecting quite a number of viewers for this, so let's work out how we're going to deal with that. But the other thing that we should anticipate is that whether the first or second person comes around, wants to make you an offer to take it off the market, one needs to be very clear as to what price is acceptable to do that, because with the demand that there is and with the interest there is in some of these better properties, you know, going to a closing date, which I know a lot of people hate, particularly south of the border, my experience has been a lot north of the border where this is standard practice, but these closing dates can generate some significant bids over and above asking price. So it's not always the right thing to do to take the first offer that comes your way. But every case is different, and you've got to sit down with the client and work it out what is really the solution that's best for them.
And you've all spoken a lot, and John, you touched on it there, about just how much demand there truly is. So how do buyers maximize their chances of success? Is it just about the highest bidder, or are vendors looking for that kind of X factor where somebody falls in love with the house?
We've just had an example, and I know estate agents and mortgage advisors and financial advisors will always advise you to get your finances in order before making a bid. But we've seen it again this week where there have been multiple potential buyers of a particular house, and disappointed people that think that they're ready. And actually, they didn't have all of their finances in place, yet they were perfectly suitable buyers for the property. And they lost out to somebody who was able to provide all the financial evidence that secured the owner's acceptance of their offer. And we do talk about it a lot, but it's so important to look at your finances. There's the new 95% mortgages coming out at the moment as well. That'll have an impact. Understand where you are and move forward positively, and secure it when you can. You know, we work very closely with the Mortgage Advice Bureau, and they can certainly help out in connection with that.
But surely this can't go on forever. Like, how hard is it really to predict what's going to happen? We can take advantage now, and that's great, but surely this is going to come to an end. You know, if interest rates go up, if inflation changes, you know, something is going to change. This can't go on.
So there needs to be a certain level of people that need to come to the market to let the whole merry-go-round continue, because there is an element of confidence breeding confidence in the marketplace. And to some degree, you know, certainly I'm sure my colleagues as well, we're seeing quite a number of properties that haven't quite made that decision to actually bring it to the market. What it needs is those people to come to the market. And once that starts, the more you get, the more that happens. And that will level out the playing field to a more, as Graham said before, a more normal level.
Yeah, you're quite right. It's the levelling off of supply and demand, Charlie. That's what'll do it. And it will control the market. Massive macroeconomic issues change markets, and we can do nothing about that. We just have to react when it happens. I mean, you know, look at this time last year. There wasn't a house being traded. We're what, 10 days into a lockdown, the first ever one, not knowing where the hell we were going to be in 3, 4, 6 months' time. So, you know, there's nothing you can do about that. We have to play the cards that we're dealt with at the moment. And I think that what we will see, exactly as Andrew says, is there will be a leveling off of the difference between the number of people looking and the number of people selling. Mm. And that will gradually slow the market down. But it'll be at a level which is a little bit higher than where we are now. And that's what will be established over the piece, I think.
I think the other thing about securing a property is, Graham was saying, absolutely right, you've got to have all your ducks in a row, your mortgage in place, your solicitors ready, all those sorts of things. What we've experienced, because we do sell to a lot of people from out of the area that are actually able to proceed without finance, you know, without getting a mortgage. Some of it actually is driven by their circumstance. So actually, we may have a number of offers on a property, but actually the person that actually secures the house is not necessarily the highest offer in some cases. It's actually that they've got far more flexibility in terms of being able to allow the vendor to actually find the time to find another property and commit to that. So sometimes, you know, that might be something for a buyer to consider as well, is what other flexible arrangements might they have that might make them in a better position than somebody else.
So I've been reading a couple of things recently, and the Office of National Statistics House Price Index showed that there was a reverse in the north-south divide, and I was like, that might be a bit northist there. And then again, Zoopla said that actually, because of property prices in the north and the extension of the stamp duty and the availability of properties up to £250,000 was the kind of driving force behind people moving to the north. Is this true, or have they just discovered the air quality is better?
I think they've discovered the air quality is better, and the amount of rural space and living that we have that's available. The other thing is, there's quite a lot of industry moving to the north of England. You know, we've got the Treasury Department coming up to Darlington. GlaxoSmithKline have just secured the vaccines, haven't they, for in Barnard Castle. You know, there's a lot of industrial factors that are moving in this direction. So, yeah, it's the place to be.
Yeah, don't forget the Teesside Freeport as well. You know, in our patch down here in Stokesley, that will probably have an impact.
It'll have a huge impact. But I also think an interesting point to make is, you say that up to £250,000. I think there's a misconception in the south that property in north is really cheap. It's good value, and you can get an awful lot more for your money. But, you know, don't come up here with £150,000 in your pocket and think you're going to buy a 5-bedroom farmhouse. You know, it's not quite like that. And we do get quite a lot of people who are not quite sure of the values of properties in this part of the world.
I don't know how far this podcast gets, Charlie. We don't want to let the secret out too much about our area. But what we are seeing is a lot of people who are moving up from the south, as Andrea mentioned there, there's often a connection to our area as well. So they, you know, secretly do know a little bit about us, or their family are from here, or they grew up here, or they know the area because whatever. We're not just, you know, there's generally a purpose for the move.
Our stats say there are 5.2 viewers to each property. I'm not sure who the 0.2 is, compared to 4.8 last year. So I was thinking, well, that doesn't seem that much, but in reality, is it?
It's so difficult to compare stats that are so finite like that. But we look at stats all the time, and John's an absolute expert on it. But it's one of those situations whereby, you know, if we look at the amount of offers that are turning into sales as opposed to, you know, the amount of offers that don't go to sale, you can start to see the desire in buyers and the amount of those that are now tying up that historically have been that bit more tricky or harder negotiations. There's so many different facets to it. It's so difficult to look at each individual statistic and say that it's absolutely right or wrong. Every house is different.
I thought you were the king of stats, Graham.
I love a stat.
So are we experiencing many fall-throughs at this moment in time, or is it just plain sailing? What's going on?
The fall-through rate in our part of the world at the moment, certainly through GSC Grays, is somewhere between 20 and 25%. The national average has been well over 30% over the course of the last 6 months. And that is mainly due to frustrations with the system being completely log jammed, chains becoming ever longer, and people just not prepared to hang on any longer. And I think we've all suffered from that a little bit. The real point that's come out of all of this is we've got to shorten the length of time that it takes from agreeing a sale to exchanging contracts, because so much can happen in the meantime, and so much disappointment and concern can be generated during an unnecessarily extended process. Fall-throughs are always part of the system in England, simply because of that. There are title issues that come up. There are lots of different things that come up where they can be justified. I read somewhere the other day that people are approaching the buying of houses a bit like they approach shopping on Amazon, where some people are putting in multiple offers on multiple properties and going with the one that comes quickest and then letting others down. Now, I mean, I can't believe that's widespread, but it will have an influence in some places. But I think we can expect fall-throughs to be a part of our world going forward. The trick is to make sure that you are very prepared, both as buyer and seller, to ensure that that process is as short as possible. And then I think you've got a very good chance of making sure that the deal that you've agreed crosses the line in the timescale that you expect.
If you're thinking about selling your house and you're thinking, right, what can I do to add value to it? Will kind of painting the kitchen, putting a new bathroom in, adding a conservatory, is that actually going to add value to your house? Should you bother doing it at this moment in time, or should you just kind of put it on the market and see what happens?
At this juncture, I would say that people need to take the leap of faith and actually get on and just put their houses on the market. And we actually need lots of people to take the leap of faith. And once one does, the rest will. And I think that the simple small things are your house needs to be really well presented, clean, decluttered, probably some nice bedding plants to brighten up the front of the property, that kind of thing. So it's all about key presentation with what you have. But certainly, I don't think we'd be suggesting that people undertook major renovations at this juncture to sell, because it's simply not the right time to do it. And also, there's no point in doing that unless that you're doing it for your own benefit, for some, to enjoy for some time. So, it's take the leap of faith and get your house on the market is what they need to do. I mean, I saw an elderly lady yesterday, and basically, I may as well just have gone and had a cup of tea with her. It wasn't really like a market appraisal, because she's thinking about moving, but she's quite old. And she's worried about it. And we just had a conversation about, and I said, look, you need to be at the point where you're ready to move. So what I mean by that is you need to be thinking, if I had a house sale tomorrow, what would I do if I hadn't found a property? Where would I go? Would I still go through with it? Would I go into rented accommodation? Can I stay with family? And I said, you need to be thinking along those lines, because then you know that mentally you're behind the move. And ready to go, and you've got options. And the simple fact of the matter is, it's everything's out of your hands. When you put a house on the market, you have no control over the outcome. That's the reality. But we've got to manage the no control for that vendor. And I think that's what we're particularly good at, managing those expectations and settling people's mind. I mean, that lady yesterday, I was just saying, look, we'll take care of it. When we get the buyer, we'll discuss their circumstances. We'll see what their flexibility is. And then we'll work it out as we go along. Don't worry about it. Just do it. Don't worry about it.
No, Andrea, you're absolutely right. And it ties exactly with what John was saying earlier, which is the buyer's the right person for you. If someone's willing to wait for you to find a house and work with you on your timeframes, well, it takes all of that pressure off. Mm. And it's not just about first past the post or the person with the most money or the person who's in the best position. It could be a variety of those things. And it's about understanding your client. You're absolutely spot on, Andrea.
And working together as a team, the team being us with our vendor and actually the purchaser. So it's we're all trying to get to this common goal.
And I think as well, like, because there's such a shortage of supply of property to the market, you know, you're selling your house, you've got three people that want to buy your property, and you can then have choice between who's going to fit you in terms of timescales. You know, the answer to the buyer is, well, look, you know, my house is the only house you want to buy, so you will have to work with my timescale to some extent. And then it then gives that person time to find a property as well. So, you know, it works both ways, I suppose, doesn't it?
So we've spoken a lot around confidence and having ducks in a row, but what advice would you give to sellers right now as we begin to see the light at the end of the tunnel? You know, estate agents across the country are needing stock. What sets us apart? Why us?
Well, if you're looking to buy a house in the north of England, and in particular in the sphere of influence of our offices, then we'd expect you to come to us, mainly because we've got the expertise that goes with it, the knowledge all of our people are embedded in their own communities. We know what's going on, and I think we can give both buyers and sellers the confidence they need to progress through the process. Making a decision to sell your house is the most difficult decision anybody will probably make in their lifetime. It involves a significant amount of money. And I think it's about confidence, about believing in the service that you're going to get. And I hope that we deliver that. I know we deliver that, certainly in the feedback we've been getting in what has been a very difficult time in the process of getting houses over the line from agreed sales. I think the majority of our, vast majority of our customers and clients have been delighted with the way that they've been looked after.
Something that I've loved seeing over the last 6 months is that, you know, a lot of people realise that there is a lot more hard work goes into to selling a house than just, you know, putting a picture of your house somewhere. And it's borne out by the amount of times I've seen both on our internal media, my team, your teams out there, the amount of wine, you know, chocolates, flowers, thank yous. And actually, I take time to read all the thank you cards and the letters that get sent to us, which is way more heartfelt than just selling your house. And so many people have said, look, without you guys, you know, really putting this effort in the background and caring, then we wouldn't have been able to do it. We're not sure how we would have got through it. And I know that's it's easy to say on our podcast, but it's lovely when you get that feedback from people. And it's something that, you know, the team are really excited to provide that level of service. And that's why people should, at the very least, come and talk to us, see what we can provide, and no doubt we'll look after them really well.
And we'll definitely love them if they give us chocolate.
Oh, always.
There we have it. I told you there would be plenty to examine when it came to house prices. No matter where you are in your property journey, our dedicated team of experts are here to help you every step of the way. To discover more, visit our website, gscgrays.co.uk/estate-agency. Until next time, stay safe. Bye-bye.